Tom, thank you for that solo. That was wonderful. I really appreciated that. And Dave, for your part in the music, the duet with George, that was my special request. I had heard him play that, and I said, I think I'd like you to play that some Sunday morning. Aren't you glad he did? On reflecting why I chose the topic, what I know about God, I realized that it might sound like I thought I was an authority on God, and I'm not. But I do have some ideas about God that are true in my life, and that's what I'd like to share this morning. Hopefully, these ideas may correspond with some truths in your life, or if they don't, maybe we can stimulate the thinking process. Before I go on, I feel like I'd like to say that I habitually speak of God as He. And I'm not saying that God does not have feminine attributes or that I think of God as exclusively male, but I'm comfortable with God as He, and I hope I won't offend if I refer to Him that way. One of the most important things that I know about God is that He is. This seems very obvious to me, but I must face the fact that it's not obvious to everyone. God is very real to me. I'm very aware of His presence in my life. I've seen wonderful things happen. I've felt His power. And because I believe in God, I can live each day secure in the knowledge of His love and guidance. I can say with a psalmist, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then this promise is found in Isaiah. "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." God is. He is there waiting for me to guide and to comfort and to be my friend. God is. The second most important thing I know about God is that He loves us. The Bible is full of assurances of God's love. In John 3:16, we read, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son." That's an amazing verse. God loved us so much that He gave us His Son. In 1 John, we read, "Let us love one another, for love comes from God." And in Matthew, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" When Ruth Kinsey was here, she organized some small prayer study groups, and I'll always be grateful to Ruth for that. I felt that I really grew in that particular study experience. If you've never been part of a prayer Bible study group, let me recommend it to you. If you take it seriously and enter in wholeheartedly with the intention of learning about God and His will, it can be a tremendous experience. In this particular group, we use the workbook of Living Prayer by Maxie Dunham. I do recommend this material. Maxie Dunham is world editor of the Upper Room and a United Methodist minister. This material is challenging and thought-provoking. In particular, I remember the time that I came across this quote from Augustine. He, God, loves everyone as though there were but one of us to love. What a statement. He loves every one of us as though there were but one of us to love. Beside it in the book, I see in my handwriting the words, amazing, God loves me. I had never quite thought of God's love quite that way, and I'll never forget its impact when I first read it. I still find it amazing. Maxie Dunham talks about God's love for us in this way. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God is good, and he wants to give good gifts to his children. God is like a shepherd who misses even one lost sheep from his flock, like a housewife who sweeps a house clean to find one lost coin, like a father who grieves for one prodigal son who has left home. It is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I've been reading Catherine Marshall's book, Beyond Ourselves. This is her story of God working in her life. Catherine Marshall gives her explanation of how God loves us. The Gospels make it clear that to Jesus, the Father is all-loving, is of the essence of love, cannot help but loving. Moreover, this love includes the attributes of love known to all of us: goodwill, unselfishness, consideration, justice, wanting only good things for us, desiring our happiness. It is not a love dependent upon our earning it. God is for us, first, last, and always. Christ sought to tell us that the Father is always nearer, mightier, freer to help us than we can imagine. We sing of God's love, we read of God's love in the Bible. The powerful truth is that God loves us, each one of us, as though there were only one of us to love. And because God loves us, he wants to communicate with us. He will not force himself on us, but he is there seeking, waiting, wanting us to be open to him. We were in Wyoming this past June in Jackson Hole. We knew that while we were there, our son Dave and his family would be vacationing in Yellowstone, which is just about an hour away from where we were. And so we made plans to be with them on Wednesday. But on Monday, we decided to drive up to Yellowstone and look around on our own. All the time, I kept thinking, wouldn't it be funny to run into Dave and Karen and the kids? We visited Old Faithful, along with several hundred other tourists, and then we went into the lodge to look around. As we were walking in, accompanied by 50 or more other people, I heard a voice say, "Mom!" Immediately, I knew that voice. Had anyone else said, "Mom," I would have kept right on, but I knew that voice was speaking to me, and of course it was Dave, and we all had fun at seeing each other unexpectedly. My point this morning is that there is another voice speaking to us. We need to be listening for it. We need to know that it is speaking to us specifically. If we listen for God, we can be sure that he will be speaking to us. It will be meant for us alone. And it will be a wonderful reunion. When I read about prayer, two things are evident. One, God is actively desiring to communicate with us. He was always there, always ready. And two, we have to be willing, we have to desire God's presence in our lives. In Revelations it says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in and eat with him, and he with me." In Matthew, we read, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. In Maxie Dunham's workbook, he writes, all the resources of God himself are available to his children who will enter into a praying relationship with him. I personally believe that we should talk to God about anything we feel is important to us. Elton Trueblood says, prayer is talk with God. Such communion is clearly the boldest enterprise in which a human being can engage. Whenever we pray, we are seeking to bridge the chasm between the human and the divine. Communication with him is possible. How can I talk about prayer and not share personal experiences? I can't give you dramatic examples, but I can tell you that as I have made my life open to God's leading, I have felt a change. I'm not the same person who invited God to work in me a few years ago. I have felt your prayers when my family has had a crisis. I've watched God work in the lives of our children. I often fail. Sometimes I forget to pray. But when I have been faithful, I've found that God is even more faithful. Communication is possible. God does answer prayer. Meister Eckhart wrote, God is bound to act, to pour himself into thee as soon as he shall find thee ready. Fenelon wrote, the more you seek for God, the nearer he will be to you. Every step that you take toward him will bring you peace and consolation. When we've invited God into our life and we have become serious about praying, we often find that God has plans for us. There are many books on prayer. One that I've had for years is The Secret of Effective Prayer by Helen Smith Shoemaker. In it, she recounts the story of Peter and Cornelius and how through prayer, Peter was guided to meet with Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion. Ordinarily, Peter would not have met with Cornelius, as it was unlawful at that time for a Jew to meet with a non-Jew. But Peter confessed, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts those from every nation. And from the meeting of these two men came the beginning of the establishment of the Christian church in the world. Mrs. Shoemaker concludes, it is startling to realize that the course of history was changed by two men's obedience to guidance. The building of Christ's kingdom often depends on just such obedience. This is a great truth. God has a plan. You have a part. Find it. Follow it. When I was reading Catherine Marshall's book, I discovered that she was strongly influenced by reading Hannah Whitall Smith's book, A Christian Secret of a Happy Life. Hannah Smith was a Quaker who wrote her book in 1870. I have something in common with Catherine Marshall. I love Hannah Smith's book, too. It's been a big influence on my life. It's the book that I read in the middle of the night to calm my worries. It's the book where I've almost always found answers to my questions. Her language is quaint, her style is outdated, but she wrote with such joy of the Christian life. Hannah Smith wrote this about guidance. Divine guidance has been promised. If you seek it, you are sure to receive it. Above everything else, trust him. Nowhere is faith more needed than here. He has promised to guide. You have asked him to do it, and now you must believe that he does. God cannot guide those souls who never trust him enough to believe that he is doing it. When we speak of God's plan for our lives, we can be certain that his plan will bring us joy. Following God's plan will mean using the talents that he has given us. It will be designed to bring us maximum fulfillment. It is almost certain to involve love. We are commanded by God to love one another. Joshua Brown, when he was here, challenged us. Whoever wants to know about love should be able to come to us and find out about it. In our worship, in our fellowship, and in the way we care for one another. Our meetings and our families and our homes and our places of work need to be schools for love. The love Christ talked about. That love should not be hidden or covered up in any way. It should be the most obvious thing about us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And whoever loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Quakers have long been known for their love. They visited prisons. They have worked with the oppressed. They worked to abolish slavery. They brought relief in war. Quakers are known for helping the hungry, the poor, and the sick. We Quakers today have ample opportunity to share God's love wherever we are. God is waiting for us to make ourselves available to do his work. If I know nothing else, I know these four things about God. God loves us. God wants to communicate with us. God has plans for us. He wants us to love each other. As we go into our quiet time this morning, I'd like to read the words of this wonderful old hymn. Please listen to them. They're wonderful words. And during the quiet time, if you feel that you would like to, if God leads you to respond or to speak, please feel free to speak into the silence. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.